Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. This is our monthly plug-in webinar for the summer. Once we finish the summer, these plug-in events will happen less regular. I think it'll be every once every other month or something. But for now, there's some really cool plugins that have hit the WordPress repo. But before we dive into the plugins, I did want to highlight, and you can see it in the handout there in the chat room at wpstudio.com/chat. If you scroll all the way to the bottom, there are three AppSumo things that I did want to let you all know about. One, we're already talking about it in the chat room, is that AppSumo brought the deposit photos deal back. And a lot of you like that, and I just wanted to alert some of you who may not follow the Slack chat room as much, that this deposit photo, really quality stock photos and images that can help your clients. $49 is 100 photo downloads. Now, you can use multiple credits and you can get video and other things, and just wanted to let you know that they brought this deal back. I think this is like the third or fourth time they brought this deal back. The next one is, I know some of you do run client sites that have large email lists. This is something you may want to actually consider. You upload your newsletter list, and this will go through and it runs all these different checks to check whether or not it's a default email address, like a catch-all, or whether the email address no longer exists. This is very helpful. Because even though you may have a newsletter system that handles bounces and everything else, basically, if you get too many bounces, you could actually run into problems with your newsletter sending agency. Doesn't matter who it is. So sometimes being able to clean out newsletters for, especially, you may have clients who come to you and say, okay, I've got 25,000 people on this list, but we haven't sent to it in over 4 years. That's a red flag, and you need to pay for or use some tool to verify a lot of these emails. Many of the systems out there for like 25,000 emails, it may cost $1,000. But right now, AppSumo does have this deal of $49 gets you about half a million checks through this company's system. So I wanted you to know about that. You really only need this if you have an old email list or your client has a large email list that hasn't been used in a while. That's what you'd use it for. And just again, I said it last time, but a reminder, because it's probably going out the door, if you use at the Elementor plugin at on your WordPress site, you might want to consider this AppSumo deal of tons of pre-styled elements that you can use. All right, so let's dive in and to a number of the plugins. And I've actually put little stars or asterisks next to the plugins that we're going to spend a little bit more time with. And so the first one we're going to look at is actually a tool that, yes, it will help you in your speeding up of a website, but it does it without you having to get into the code or write htaccess files or anything like that. It's called Add Expires Header Plugin. It's very new. It's so new that in the actual plugin, when you go, oh, hey, there's a pro version, there's no pro version. Basically, they haven't built the pro version yet. They released this free version. And if you actually, it's really funny. If you go to the pro version, you'll get a 404 error, which I kind of found funny. Oh, you want a professional version? Nope, there's nothing there. So what this does, if you didn't know, like, or it's been a while since you ran your website through a GT Metrics or Pingdom or Google PageSpeed type thing, you will see these recommendations of making sure you have header expirations. This would be when a website loads a JavaScript file, loads cached files, loads all sorts of stuff. Basically, there are default cache limits, which for many items are unlimited. Or maybe it's check every single time you load. And speed checks don't like that. They want to be told that, okay, all images or all video files or all CSS files should expire in 6 months. So therefore, any browser that's going to come is, rather than check and see if it's, you know, is this the latest version number, it's simply going to say, it's been 6 months, we'll go grab another one, or we won't. So this is something that's really needed for any type of WordPress website. So what it does is, right at the top, we can handle gzip compression and then enable adding expire headers. When you check this box, it opens up the ability to do all of these. So a lot of the GT metrics, Pingdom, all those speed things will tell you what they recommend for how many days the expiration is set at. Some of them will actually say, okay, we want to make sure that maybe your MP3s are set at 365 days, so we'll put it as a year. So you can check each one of these audio, image, and video types and set the expiration for however you want to set them. Then if we come down here, we also can set for every single CSS file, style sheet file that is loaded into the header, we can set an expiration as well as a JavaScript. It's that simple. Check the box you want to set an expiring header. This way you do not have to go to the htaccess file. You do not have to load them specifically into a function. And you don't have to get into the WP and Q scripts file. So it's nice that this is very simple to use. And again, it's a brand new plugin, so I'm sure more features will be coming as it grows. Okay, the next plugin, you'll see sometimes I will grab a plugin that does nothing more than all the work for you. So there is a plugin called Advanced Sermons. Now, I know a lot of you work with nonprofits or churches or organizations that do speeches. You could do everything that this plugin does with pods, page templates, doing your own loops, all those type of stuff. You can do that. You don't need something like this. But A, if you don't have the time, B, if the nonprofit is not going to pay you to spend the time to style everything, this will take care of it for you. In terms of basically what it's doing is it creates a sermon custom post type. It already creates your page templates, and it has a short code parameter system that allows you to choose how you want to sort things. And you scroll down and you can see an example of this, the output. So basically, if your short code is to list all these things, you get a featured image, a title, the speaker, the topic, the excerpt, and it handles all the stuff. And then so everything is already linked for you. If they click on the cert series or they click on the speaker, or all those things are customizable and it's done for you. So I just wanted you to know that if you have a nonprofit, that might be a solution for you, or a church, there is a pro version. Some of you also just don't want to spend time designing something. You want to build it, construct it, get it out the door, you know, and using a plugin to help you get there possibly could be a reason to charge less for the client. And yes, you can change. They have the settings for everything to change it. So if you change it to talk, you are able to change that as well. You can have it speaker, you can have it say pastor, you can have it say promoter or something like this. So it's got all the custom post types, the way to modify it. It's also got the ability to do a few customizations. All right, my next one is the first actual reason why I have found valid use for the Gutenberg block editor. I know. It's amazing. I mean, not the block editor, but this Web Slides presentation. The Web Slides presentation plugin. There's been a number of GitHub repos of people who have been using custom CSS, custom JavaScript to create online slides, online PowerPoint, online whatever you want. But there hasn't been too much success in getting them ported over into WordPress. So you could create that. Well, Philip Strocker has done it. He has customized some of these different GitHub repos that have online slides, put it into WordPress. Now, it does require the Gutenberg block editor to be turned on. And when you do turn it on, you have a presentations custom post type. What makes this unique is he has structured this custom post type to only accept certain types of Gutenberg blocks so that we can work within the structure of what it is like building slides. So we're going to go here and create a new presentation. And in our presentation, now what's great about this is, especially if you do WordCamp talks, you can put all your slides up here. You don't have to carry around your separate spare laptop. You don't have to be able to, you can easily share your presentations with people directly from the link. They can see the slides. There's lots of stuff that you can do. All right, so let's come over here. We're going to create our title, and we're going to call this one Paul's Latest Talk, since I think he was the last person in our community who did a WordCamp talk. So here's Paul's Latest Talk. Now, yes, you can go in and you can notice how I don't have any of my other blocks. I just have the ability to add a block of a slide. And it actually makes logical sense that right after my title, I can click my block and click a slide. Here, we have the slide title. Okay, this is slide number one. I can get some header tags. Basically, it auto sets the header. Then we come down here and we can write our slide. The other thing is, now remember, we can have some code. We use that slide. We can also come over here and see what other, basically it's just paragraph and header right now. But we could upload an image. We could get something like that. We could use, inline image. We can upload an image. And I wonder if I have images. I think I have them in the media library because of other stuff we're doing. Okay, so here's Josh Groban. So Josh Groban will be in the slide. Let's do 800, apply. So this is slide one. Then we come below and we can have slide two, create a new slide. This is slide number two. Now at this point, we can then type our bullet points. This is so easy. Why didn't it let me? Yes, actually, it's not so easy to type in the block editor. Because when I press enter, it does nothing. You must hit shift enter. Okay, so we've got our slides. Let's publish this. So we've published our new presentation. We can view the presentation. So it takes us to the front end. Again, we haven't styled it yet. We haven't moved things around. I probably should have set this at 100%. So this is slide number one. And then the moment you hit a keyboard stroke or something else, we get slide number two with the information that's on here. Now, if you hover down over here, you see left and right. You can click the view the slides, in which case you bring up an overview of all your slides. So if you want to jump around to different slides. So what this has now done is given you the ability, or us, anybody of us, the ability to come over here and in a WordPress website maintain all of our presentations. And then we can give out the link, the URL, the whatever it is that we want to do. We can pass out the presentations. It's all done through the post types. Marian, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought about that till you said that. That's a great idea. Client onboarding. You can put together your, this is how we do business. This is how you get support. This is how you write your first blog post. This is how you do blah, blah, blah. And then you can have from their support page, a link off to all of your pre-made slides. And it allows the client to jump around, remember the slides, and publicly accessible, all that type of stuff. But it's a really cool idea. What it does, just from the back end, it's one of the first ones that I've seen that uses Gutenberg templates. So as you can see, the Gutenberg templates have basically said, we're eliminating all the other Gutenberg blocks and because we're just doing slides. So it puts you in a simplified method of processing everything. So I really liked it. I hope you will all like that as well. Now, one more thing with Gutenberg. I know a lot of us, when we're developing, we use Lorem Ipsum. Maybe we already have a tool in our toolbox that will print out our code. I did want to just show you this plugin because it added one unique feature to creating Ipsum text for us. And yes, you do need it within the block editor, but you don't have to use it just for the block editor. So I'm going to activate this so it will come in. Let's go to our pages. We're going to add awesome JavaScript error. All right, so let's come over here and we will find, I thought it was in formatting. Maybe it's common blocks. Layout elements. Where did it go? Guten Ipsum. All right. Just making sure it hasn't hidden something. Bear with me one second because it should. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. Okay. So I knew it was there. I had to have some type of a text somewhere. So it's up here. Click here. And at this point, this is the kind of neat thing. Again, you kind of have to have the Gutenberg editor open at one point. And you can do exactly what these websites do. Say, okay, let's create sentences. Let's create two paragraphs. We can see what's down here. You can change settings of what type of, how many words, how many sentences, blah, blah, blah. But this is the thing that makes it unique. Copy to clipboard. So if you already have the Gutenberg editor and you're working with the block editor, go ahead and add this plugin because you can always use it from any location and you can copy it to your clipboard, which means now you can go over to a widget area and dump it in. You can go over to another area and dump it in wherever you want, or you can insert it into the content and it will take care of it like that. So I thought it was nice that it did give you the option of go directly to the clipboard. The only reason it can do that is because the block editor is all JavaScript. And so therefore we can operate in that. It's not just a PHP, which we need access to JavaScript in order to pull that off. Very simple. It's kind of one of those development plugins that only if you are working on building out the site, you just need content. Okay, the next one is, it's not Sheldon. It's not the name of some TV character. It's Shield On. That's how it's pronounced. Shield On is a PHP library that prevents scraping. So what this will do, and I don't think I installed this yet. Let's check. WP Shield On. Did I put it in here? No. All right. So let me add the plugin. Shield On. Which version of PHP do I have? I wonder which site I have. Hold on, let's go. We're going to go over to our site health. This may be on PHP 7. Where's my server? Yes, PHP 7. Okay, looks like on this test site that we're doing, we would need to update it. So what this does is this runs in the background. Again, you looks like you may have to have 7.1 or higher. There it is. So if you're not in WordPress, you can use the PHP library. All it does is sit there and monitor traffic. And if too many of your pages are being used or called by a certain user within a certain amount of time, aka a scraping bot who's trying to pull content, so just visits and tries to pull all your content, it throws up a CAPTCHA screen so that they can't scrape your site. Nobody sees this. This does not get triggered if somebody just, oh, I go to your homepage, I'm going to click this page, I'm going to click this page. Basically, they can't click fast. A human can't click fast enough to try and get this. But what it's trying to prevent is a bot or some computer program that is calling multiple pages to the same IP address. And again, you do have some nice settings. You can choose what to protect. What is it? Is it checking from the file system? Is it checking from MySQL? And then you can go through and whitelist IP addresses. So maybe you have your client has 5 or 6 websites and they're all pulling different content and sharing different content, repurposing content. You kind of have a network of sites. You can whitelist those so that they can go ahead and do exactly what they've always been doing, pulling stuff. And you can also blacklist things that have already proven to be a problem. But what's nice is basically this is a stop. And if it is somebody who's actually doing something valid, they're just for some reason, maybe they've opened 40. This would actually be a human or why a reason or an actual reason why a human would get this page is how many of you open lots and lots of tabs on your browser? Yes, pretty much all of us. All of us probably could say we have too many tabs open. Now, what happens if your computer shuts down or you close the browser crashes and it starts up again? Now, luckily, some browsers will now say, would you like to reopen all your crashed tabs? And we say yes. And so then the browser tries to open 48 different tabs at the exact same time. At that type of situation, let's say 48 of those are for the exact same site we're developing, we will get this type of a reCAPTCHA saying, wait, there's something going on. Too many requests coming from the same IP address. So this allows the reCAPTCHA, if we are validly trying to do this and we are a human, go ahead and you can fill that out and you can go on your merry way and you will be approved to access this. So again, really cool thing. It prevents a lot of scraping. It is a quality PHP library that has now been brought over to WordPress. If you want to, I guess he's got this set up on his site. So we'll see if we can pull this off. He says if you just refresh, he has it set very high. If we refresh multiple times, I don't think I can physically, humanly do that. There, we got it to crash. Because he has it set for extremely high. So I was just hitting refresh, 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 and we get the screen. So I found that plugin. I thought this was a very helpful plugin, especially for many of you who have clients. All right. The next one is Media Assist. Media Assist is very new for WordPress. I think it got released about a week and a half ago that it came across my radar. Because for most of us, when we go to the media library, this is not a usual media library for those of us who have had WordPress websites for a long time. Normally, it is really long, and we'd be scrolling and scrolling and scrolling lots of content. And yes, we would have PDFs, we'd have images, we'd have zip files, we'd have JPEGs, PNGs, GIFs, we'd have all sorts of things. Well, there's nothing really to tell me, you know, give me an analysis of what's going on with the media library. So the media assistant, when you activate it, activate this, it opens up basically an analysis screen. Now, you'll immediately see if you were paying attention that A, it's early on, so it does not know what to do with PDFs. It does not know what to do with zip files. Right now, it's just images, audio, and video files. Will it be able to give you an analysis? So we can get a quick look at, and it would be number of images, and if we had audio files, it would have audio files here, and then it would have video files, and it would give me a quick update. It would give me the total media weight of all of the images combined, all the audio combined, and all the video combined. And then it will break it down by where's the big stuff. And then we'll be able to see what are the most recent things that were added. And we can kind of dive in and get an analysis of the size and when it was last being used. So I thought this was a nice little tool. And it's a nice tool, especially if you are all looking for new ways to report data to your clients. I mean, it looks nice. Now, one caution that I found while I was digging through the plugin is currently the plugin developer does not own a license or an account for the graphing API. You can actually see it that it's Fusion Charts trial shows up. So they're not paying for the ability. So again, I don't know how long this will last. It may have no problem and he'll be able to continue to use the trial version for the life of the plugin. But it does make nice looking graphs, nice looking things that we can report to the client. And I think it's just one of those tools that can be useful for when you're working with clients. All right. The next one, the page CDN. Now, we haven't spent tons of time talking about CDNs, other than a few things looking with Cloudflare and connecting with others. Probably because for many servers, setting up CDNs, and so this is a content distribution network, can be very difficult and persnickety, and different CDNs want to do things different ways. This is absolutely the easiest way to set up a CDN system for your sites or your client sites. Now, it uses a public CDN, so it is free, and it does certain things easily, but let me show you what I mean by does certain things. I'm not trying to be secretive, but it's not a full offload of all your content. It offloads the things that are easy to offload and that are more generic that can help speed up your site. All right, so once we have put our CDN on here, we go to a one-page CDN. unlike other places that have lots of setting, lots of things to manage, you do have to sign up for a free API key. Basically, I think they're wanting your email address so they can upsell you on premium accounts, where you would actually be pushing full pieces of your actual website to their CDN servers and stuff like that. But for what it does, I believe it is worth having an account, especially for a client that who you want to help get faster, but they're not wanting to pay a full CDN price. So what this then does is it will, you don't, once you have an API, you don't even need to know the URL. It'll figure it out. It then allows you to choose which directories are we including in the CDN, and we're excluding PHP files, XML files. Those are things that you normally do exclude, so that you are going to include JPEGs, .css files, JavaScript files, all that type of stuff. And then what we do is optimize open source content. So this then says, all right, instead of loading WordPress JavaScript, we're going to load JavaScript from this CDN because we know which one it's supposed to be using. All the other scripts that are by default loaded with WordPress, because any open source person knows what WordPress uses, they already know how to serve it. So having these checked, it goes ahead and says, we're not going to load anything from WordPress. We're going to load it from our CDN. Just, it's a way to offload the speed from your server, get something else serving your content much faster. This is all it is. So basically, once you put your API in here, you can just leave everything else and hit save changes. And you will have sped your site up. It will be feeding off of the public CDN that Page CDN offers. And because WordPress is so big, the other cool thing is that if some developer, let's say Gravity Forms, decides they want to push their style sheets, or let's say somebody else who has Gravity Forms has publicly shared the Gravity Forms JavaScript, it's already there. And so Page CDN will see that you have Gravity Forms installed. And so rather than loading the JavaScript files for Gravity Forms from your site, we'll load it from the CDN. Marianne, I was only able to do a quick test. I did see drops in like a half a second in one area of load time. So it was from basically a static WordPress website that was a starter thing. So I did see a increase in page load speed. It's one of those ones that it will probably get you one or two additional points on a GT Metrics or something like that. And because it's free, it really doesn't hurt to try, especially if you've got a client who, it's a little slow today. Throw that up. If it helps, it helps. If it doesn't, you're not out anything. Because, I mean, that's the truth. You will have some CDNs, you do all the work to try and get it offloaded onto another CDN, and you don't see any difference. I've seen that happen too. So that's why I'd be like, be very careful. Just grab something that isn't going to cause an issue. All right. I've been playing around with this Narwhal microblog. I can't show you on the current version of the website because you do need a later version of PHP. Yes, it says 5.2, but I'm running into errors on this site. Basically, it adds a front-end area that you have to style yourself so that instead of people going to the blog post and writing their blog post in the back end, they can write their blog post on the front end when they're logged in, just like they would if they were using Twitter or something. So basically, they have a front-end form that's already formatted, already fits into your current theme. You just have to style the entry point. So I put that out there because some of you, especially nonprofits or CEOs who want to do updates, or maybe you want to have it only show up for event pages so that you can actually have two or three staff members, interns who are going to an event, they want to do updates from an event, they just have to be logged into the front end of the website. They can quick and they can use their phone. They can post the item. And let me just see. I wonder if I have it. I mean, it looks really horrible because I haven't styled it, but I think the narwhal thing is here. Yeah. So we're going to come over here. We go to the front end, and basically because I'm logged in, again, I haven't styled it, I can type my title, wow, and update. And again, they can add the media libraries. This is our update. And yes, Jan, perfect thing for a client who doesn't want to know how to go to the back end of WordPress. So we post our item, and notice how it has, wow, an update. Welcome to the World was also made with the narwhal. So it fits directly within what your WordPress website already has in terms of styled. It treats it like a post or whatever custom post type you attach the narwhal blogging to. So you can see how on the front end, when they're logged, if they log out, this all goes away. Now, if the way you change your settings on this, you go to the settings writing, and down at the bottom, you will see display narwhal on, is it front page everywhere, a single category page. So if you have certain types of, basically we're looking at archive pages, anything that is a feed page, we can choose when and where to show it. And then you can choose which elements that you want to use. If you want to get rid of the greetings and links, gravatars, get rid of that draft button, or, get rid of the tags, get rid of the cat. You could just have title and the content. There's lots of stuff that you could do to affect the settings. So just put that out there. Some of you, I mean, you can do that with Gravity Forms already. You can build your own type of thing, but this is something, if you don't want to build it yourself, you don't have to. It's already been built. Now, two plugins, one that we've already talked about. Some of you are experiencing extreme frustration with the site health issue with WordPress. This will disable it. It will literally turn it off. So you don't have to worry about it with your clients. Now, some of you may find, rather than fully disabling it, you can use the Site Health Manager that we talked about that basically now goes through all the checks and you can turn off certain checks. Don't forget that if, for whatever reason, there's an issue with the site, it will send an email to the administrators, which could be your clients, which could then cause you to have frustration of having to explain to the clients why they're receiving these emails that say there are errors with the website. All right. Now, one thing I did want to point out, there is part of the update to Control Studio that's coming out has a number of checkboxes that is the Control Studio is going to try and help you with the speed of your website. Spent a lot of research. Time trying to figure out load times and size issues. And now, currently, you can go to Control Studio and check a box to turn off emoticons or turn a box to turn off something else. I've expanded that. So now, not only can you disable the emojis, I will also start tabulating where you can see, okay, that saves us one file request on each page at approximately 16 kilobytes. And it will, each thing you add, it will create, you have now saved this much memory or size every single page load. or in certain areas. So it's now you can control embedded objects. You can get rid of the auto embed stuff. That's 6 kilobytes. You can get rid of, finally, jQuery migrate. You do not need it. It was dropped in 2016 and it still exists in WordPress. You can disable dash icons. You can disable Heartbeat. Heartbeat uses 6 kilobytes on every single page load in the admin, and the Heartbeat is basically how autosaves happen. You can remove unlogged in visitor comments. This is slightly different than logged in visitor comments. So this is, if you still want people who are members to be able to leave a comment, you can do that. This removes visitor comments, which means every single time a front end page loads that has a post or page that allows comments, we save 2 kilobytes every single time. And then it also will remove XML RPC, the generator, the Windows manifest, which basically ceased everything in 2017, but it's still in WordPress. The RSDs, the short links, which all search engines said they stopped monitoring 3 years ago, but it still exists in WordPress, RSS, and the ability to fully turn off REST API endpoints, but still allow the REST API to work for plugins and backend tools. So just wanted to point that out before we take a look at one creative new plugin. And it's called the PDF Builder for Gravity Forms. Now, we are going to be having an upcoming webinar in a week or I think it's 2 weeks, looking at the way Gravity Forms can create PDFs from entries. And while there's several options that do this, and there's valid reasons for doing this, creating printable receipts and other things that will be helpful for clients, most of those require you to create templates for each of the PDFs you're going to create. This is the first builder that I've found. So it's PDF Builder for Gravity Forms. Now let's go back over here, and I am going to, let me actually turn off Narwhal here. Deactivate this, and I'm going to turn on Gravity Forms so I can create a little form for you. We're going to activate Gravity Forms, and let us search for PDF Builder. Hopefully it shows up. There we are. PDF Builder for Gravity. It's brand new, 4 weeks ago. We're going to install this and activate this. All right. So in order for us to do this, let's make a quick form because we need to actually have content. Let me find. I thought I was already there. Oh, okay. Hold on. I actually have to grab my. Let's see here. I don't think you're seeing my email account. If you are, you just saw all of my license keys. All right. Well, now you saw my Gravity Forms license key. All right. So, you know, we don't really need all this. Okay. So we're going to create a form. PDF tester. So great. We've got our form. Let's go ahead and we're going to create a single line. I'm just going to call it first field. We'll just create a few of them, but we need to have different names so it's easier for you to see. Second field, blah, blah, blah. And paragraph. Okay, so we've got several fields. We're going to update this. Now, Gravity PDF Builder is over here, where we want to create a new template. Add a new template. All right, so we get pre-built templates. Now, they do have premium ones, which will have certificates and other things, but I just wanted to show you what you can start. You don't have to use the full one. I'm just going to go to the summary and select. It's going to load the template. And so basically, see how our first field, paragraph, second field show up? I can move this around. This is a drag and drop area. When I click on all the field items, I can now rearrange them. I want the paragraph to go first. Notice how it's already changed. And let's say, you know what? On the printout for the client, I do not want them to see the second field. Turn that off. I just deleted that. Oh, but there is a field that maybe I want to add from creation date. So who knows? So we have this stuff. Now, let's go back over here to fields. Why? Because I can drag this down here and say, you know what? Let's go to the fields. I want to add a text field here. Thank you for your purchase. All right, let's go ahead and we will make this much bigger. We can come over here, drag it. And then let's go ahead and highlight this, change the color of it. So see how we're now doing this? We can, now again, the advanced full version will allow you to then add in images, HTML, icons. You can build it right here and to the point where, all right, let me list this. I can come over here to styles. I can now choose, all right, let's the font, fam, let's add a font. Oh, looks like fonts are in full version. All right, let's just change the background color. And for some reason, my screen, whoops, wasn't big enough. Interesting. I'm on a smaller screen so for this broadcast. Great question about the field settings. You would be able to, I think on the full version, again, I have to check, when we add a field in this second field, there, again, I'd have to find the description. There is a way to do it. I started looking into that. I don't have it off the top of my head. So I just wanted to show you this, and let me pull it over here. The PDF Builder, the pro version is here. So for $49 for one site, that can get, I mean, it's expensive. I don't think they have an unlimited, but at least they have a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can try it out for one site to try all the different items. Again, you can do everything that this plugin does using your own template system, but it just may be easier jumping in here and seeing the gallery. Where's the gallery? Hold on, it's trying to load. Well, for some reason, his menu doesn't work. Because it's, okay, well, there's something wrong with his menu. I won't give him too much trouble because it's a brand new plugin, but I wanted you to see that there are solutions out there that are trying to make it easier to customize, build your own unique PDFs without having to know how to build PDFs. This is also a great way if you wanted to build your own ticket where people can print out their ticket and bring it to the door. That way you don't have to pay for an entire event plugin. There are ways that you can do this. You just have to be a little creative and think outside the block or box or whatever. You can think outside the block as well. So these are a number of the plugins that I have found that are either brand new or recently having a big update. I'm really excited about the web slides presentation. It makes it super easy to do those type of slide situations for clients. I hope you may have found some cool plugins that might work for you or your clients. And stay tuned for more stuff coming. I hope you have a great rest of the Wednesday. And for those of you celebrating July 4th, enjoy it, stay safe, and please keep all of your fingers intact. Have a great rest of the day, everybody.